right, welcome back to the newest edition of the Army Talk Fast Five. It's February 1st, 2019. It has been one heck of a week here in Minneapolis. You guys survive it?
Survived. I mean, I say warm. Like, you're very fortunate to have a house and a little like gas fireplace. It was nice, but I felt it's like colder today. It's just annoying cold now.
Yeah, no, it's like hot today. It's like six.
Six. Heat wave.
That's what I'm saying. Anything under zero just numbs you, and it's great.
But when the car thermometer hit like -3 this week on Wednesday, it was pretty scary. But it's been a great week. So we were out at FMI, the FMI Midwinter Conference down in Florida.
I heard it was awesome. I heard it was great. The pictures looked amazing.
Yeah, it was really awesome. Got a chance to present on the future of retail.
Yeah.
It went well. It went really well. We got a lot of positive feedback. Hopefully, we'll get some interesting info to share with you guys from the speech.
That industry is really interesting too. There's a lot of transition happening in the grocery space, and so it was great to see a high attendance for Chris's talk and just a lot of good conversation happening around innovating in that space.
And the coolest thing too, I forgot, we got to see Takeoff live. So the company that we spotlighted back in grocery shop back in October, we actually got to see their installation live adjacent to a Sedano's, and that thing was pretty impressive, and you loved it.
Oh my gosh. I think it's one of the coolest things I've seen in retail for sure in the last, like, I don't know, year for sure. I mean, hearing about it is one thing, but then seeing it in person, I picked actual orders. That's how simple the system is. Like, it's amazing.
That's awesome.
And just all of the things that it unlocks and the possibilities for grocery and how quick I think that industry is going to change. We'll talk about it in the Fast Five a little bit too, but
yeah, probably the most poignant moment of the weekend was seeing that. And for those of you that don't remember, Takeoff is basically the concept of micro warehousing where grocers don't need as much space. So let's take a part of their floor pad and put in tried and true fulfillment technologies. They can pick and process direct-to-consumer grocery orders faster and more efficiently. Oh, and by the way, because the grocer's already there, they're closer from a last-mile perspective, too. So you can see how quickly this thing could go into operation at a number of stores.
Was the overall aura there of attendees, were they excited, nervous, hungry? Like, I can kind of see all of those things kind of playing into a conference like this.
Yeah, it's a little bit of everything. I think the cool thing about that conference is I think it's a conference that people attend regularly every year.
Sure.
It's very much a high-level conference, too. And so I think people were excited, and they were excited to make connections and keep their networks going.
Well, with that, let's get into it.
You want to get into it?
Let's get into the Fast Five. Well, we were freezing our asses off in Minneapolis this week.
Here's what happened in retail. Here's your rundown of the week. All right, story number one. This one's interesting. So Kohl's and WW, formerly Weight Watchers, are joining forces to create a studio shop in Chicago, in one of Kohl's Chicago department stores. So according to CNBC, Kohl's will pilot a Weight Watchers lifestyle studio in one of its Chicago area stores. They'll dedicate about 1,800 square feet in the store for community space where they will hold Weight Watcher events. Kohl's employees will also have access to the space as well as discounted memberships, and they'll even sell Weight Watchers-related kitchen products online. Now, this comes on the heels of some cool experimentation from Kohl's in the past year, like allowing Amazon returns within their stores, and they're hoping this is just another way to attract customers into their spaces over time. So, Carter, Ann, let's open it up. What do you guys think of this? Ann, I'm really curious what you think of this one.
Well, I think that the CEO of Weight Watchers actually said it best. And she said, this makes sense for us. The Weight Watchers customer is the Kohl's customer. And so this partnership feels natural. You know, they're providing this community space. If you think about like where Kohl's is positioned as a physical store, they're in the same strip malls, larger strip malls, where there was a form like a Weight Watchers check-in station.
Right.
So I think it's smart on Kohl's part by rethinking their square footage strategy, what they're doing with their giant box when they don't really need to have that much space anymore. And these Chicago stores are their biggest stores that, you know, the one that they're testing in.
It's a low risk test,
but I think it's smart as a retailer to rethink your, you know, why are people coming to our physical space and how do we best utilize our floor pad?
Weight Watchers seems hot to me too, Carter. I'm curious to hear your take on this. Like, I was reading it was like it's still ranked the number one diet plan in America. I've known some people that I respect a lot that have gone to work there. like, it seems like it's on this trend. So, Carter, what's your take? The part I get is, like, what's the demographics here?
I have a couple things on this.
Is this doilies and crockery?
Well, I think, it's hard for me to get into the mindset. You know, not the standard Weight Watchers right. customers. So that is a challenge. And I think on the heels of that, I think often, if you're not in that world, you run the risk of not being able to get in and relate to that audience. And so I think there is a huge demographic here. I think this could be a huge opportunity for this world. I think to Ann's point, I can't help but agree the fact of anything they're doing with their space that's different than a whole bunch of racks, like, I think is great. The thing that I thought was interesting that you pointed out, though, is that I think could be really interesting is the fact that Kohl's employees are actually going to, you know, have access to discounted Weight Watchers memberships. Mm-hmm. And so when you look at the, you know, the value of potentially being able to create a whole bunch of Kohl's employees who might not necessarily be very busy during the day
right.
into WW brand ambassadors. Yeah. I would say the demographics sometimes parallel each other in terms of shoppers and the associates that are there. I think that could be a really, really interesting play, having ambassadors there and also having the space where they might be able to introduce people to products in a more immersive way could be kind of a secret weapon for them.
I think there's two open questions for me. And so, Anne, I want to go back to you on this one. One of them too is, like, the fact that they're doing Weight Watchers branded products worries me a little bit. Like, if it just becomes like a Weight Watchers product shop and shop, like retailers traditionally have done, when you think of all the different partnerships they have, and Kohl's does this all the time,
yeah.
Then I think it's going to fall flat on its face. Like, that's not going to work. This has to be, like you were kind of alluding to, like, what is the merge of what's already being done in the suburban strip mall with what can happen inside of a Kohl's store.
Yeah.
But the other curious thing I wanted to ask you about, and then we'll move on, is, I think the interesting thing, if you've got Weight Watchers, a diet program, against a place that's selling clothes. Like, what is the psychology of that? Is there anything interesting there to you that comes to mind? Or, like, how do you think about that? Is it, like, are there any potential pitfalls with that type of idea? Or?
I haven't even really thought about that. But I think that could... I don't know.
Is it an advantage?
Evil genius. Decide. I think it's...
Well, it came up on a LinkedIn conversation I was having, and I'm just curious, like, how you guys would take that.
Yeah, I mean... There's entire brands in fashion that are centered around the opinion, especially Eloquy. Mm-hmm. This is like their purpose is mm-hmm. we believe in the transformative power of fashion. Mm-hmm. And so I think that the benefits are huge. Mm-hmm. The upside of that is huge. I guess I haven't really thought too much about what the downside of that could be. You know, if you didn't make your weight that week, you know, now... the idea of shopping for clothes can be repulsive to you. So I think that, you know, that it man, I don't know. I have to
really
think about it
question,
more.
Like,
yeah.
Or are you catching them in a need state, you know, after you go shopping for clothes and realize you weren't who you used to be?
Right.
Like, are you catching them in a point of pain, which was an evil genius? Yeah. Like, is that really what Kohl's wants to be standing for? Is like, hey, you didn't make, you don't look that great anymore, but don't worry, we have a solution for you. Come through the WW space. I don't think they'll get a ton of revolt from that. I think, you know, maybe they're playing it correctly, and maybe it is a positive. I don't know.
Yeah, it's something you have to watch. Like, it just was this interesting psychology that came up through a conversation I was having. I was curious what you guys thought. All right, Anne, you want to do headline two?
Would I ever?
Of course.
So big news out of Walmart this week, especially with the Super Bowl coming up this weekend. Fans can now purchase all of their team's licensed apparel on Walmart.com, thanks to the newly announced partnership this week with Fanatics. So according to Recode, Fanatics is the latest branded storefront that will appear on Walmart.com. This is a huge industry, a $30 billion industry, and Walmart will receive a commission of all of the sales of the merchandise that happen through Fanatics on the Walmart.com platform. So this is another big brand partnership that Walmart is hoping will help them in the race to compete against Amazon. However, one key point of note is that the Fanatics partnership deal with Walmart is not an exclusive. So Fanatics staff who've been interviewed about this particular partnership have specifically mentioned that they will not rule out a future Amazon partnership. So, I mean, Chris, are you just, what do you think about this?
Well, I know you do make fun of my,
you can buy all your favorite
large
Patriots
basketball
gear.
Short yeah. It's attire and, yeah. and oh Patriots God. Gear that I'm going to be donning this weekend, but I actually think this is an awesome move. So I'm usually pretty critical of Walmart, but I think this is a great move. Fanatics has an amazing business model. They've done really well. I think it's hard to replicate. They've created a lot of quote unquote moats around what they do. And this is a good extension for Walmart. I was actually, when I first read this, I was like, the first question I had is, okay, are they going to have good stuff or are they just going to have some of the lower grade type of apparel? And they've got They've got nice jerseys on there. If I was to say anything, I would say, Walmart, if you're going to do this, you really got to clean up your item data quality, because it basically was an unsearchable experience. I couldn't find what I wanted. It was really hard to shop. I'm glad you're doing it, but if it's going to work, you got to fix some of your core basic e-commerce principles.
Yeah, and I'd be curious on that point. Like, I would think with this type of product that having searchable aspects of it is incredibly important. You know the super team, important. You know the player, you know potentially exactly what you might be wanting, plus the sizing, et cetera, et cetera. But I also wonder if there's a flip side to that. If you look at the Walmart customer, and I just think of, usually within these big box stores, you have kind of this off-branded merchandise or whatever the hometown team is, and it's usually pretty brutal.
Right.
You know, it's like you're going to a Twins game, like, oh shoot, like, how do I get some gear really quickly? And it's pretty bad.
Yeah.
And I'm curious, you know, I think there might be two sides to this. If you have the diehard sports fanatics who know the exact number and jersey and model and all that kind of stuff that they want, then you also have, I think, the larger, well, I don't even know if I want to call it larger, but you have the other side of the demographic who's like, ugh, I got a Super Bowl party to go to. I don't want to look like that person who's not wearing anything, quote unquote, sports themed. So maybe now Walmart's going to be able to raise the bar a little bit to not have as much.
That's an interesting question, too, because then it might not bring people in the store like it did in the past. But I also don't know what the licensing agreements are with the NFL.
I guess it's a really good point.
Can Fanatics stand up shop in shops within Walmart in the long run? I think that'll be interesting to watch.
Yeah.
I imagine there's some restrictions there, but I don't know.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I'm still going to be writing like Patriots on a white t-shirt with a Sharpie. So I'm not their
You're a Patriots fan.
So, and
no, but I will say this. I would have bought a Tom Brady jersey for the weekend had I been able to find one Walmart on your site, and I couldn't.
Yeah. Oh.
So that was how poor the item data quality was.
Yeah. Well, next time you're at Walmart, pick something up for all of us. All right. We'll jump into the next
one. Browsing online.
Yeah. Right. We'll jump into this next story. So the Wii company, which I'm still having a really hard time going with, formerly WeWork, debuts this new space made by Wii. And this was something that they announced via the press room here, but it's debuting the Flatiron location, the first one in Flatiron location on Broadway in New York City. It's kind of a town square. So this is something that's a little different than the standard WeWork spaces. It's open to everyone, so members and non-members. And the interesting thing is going to differentiate beyond that as well. They're actually going to have a retail space with snacks, apparel, all of these different things that are actually created by members of the Wii community, of the WeWork community. So you're going to have 100 bookable workspaces in this first kind of a test in the Flatiron District, and they're going to be pretty cheap. So $6 for 30 minutes to sit down at a desk, 20 cents each minute, and so you're kind of having desk time now go by the old school internet cafe hours. $65 a day for a single seat, or $400 a day for a conference room. They're planning to extend 4 more of these across the United States and go beyond that based on how these first couple tests go. Now, for me, I think this is fascinating. I think it's really interesting in a couple different ways. A, it breaks down the barrier. So let's take the retail side thing, put it aside for a second. Breaks down the barrier for small businesses to jump into the WeWork community, the Wii community. And I think that's really interesting because I think for myself, running small businesses, I know Chris and Ann doing the same, that monthly membership is really intimidating. And ultimately, it gets kind of expensive when you start to amortize that down. But you're starting to say, hey, like, you can be a part of this community for basically an expensive cup of coffee, and you can plan to sit here for a quick 30 minutes, get some work done, and do that. And I think, especially in these kind of busier city centers, that's something that I think a lot of entrepreneurs and independent business people are looking for. All right, cool. But now this retail thing, I think, is really interesting. Mm-hmm. And we've been talking a ton about kind of these, you know, whether it's Four Post or anything else, or Showfields in New York, but being able to actually give the people who are part of the Wii community a place to showcase products, especially when they have probably a pretty attractive retail or real estate space within these cities, could be fascinating for a couple reasons. A, adding value to members. B, adding value to the community. And C, I think that it continues to show how retail and breaking down barriers in terms of rent and footprints and things like that, specifically for some of these direct-to-consumer brands who are almost all online, is incredibly valuable, increasingly in value too. So I think that is a fascinating, fascinating thing.
Yeah, I was at first not real thrilled with this. They basically just monetized the library. So it's like the way that you think, I think it's approachable for somebody that is interested in one-offs. Like, so now WeWork smartly from a business perspective, or Wii, has figured out a way to remove the barrier. Like, it's more approachable. Like, for them, I think it's just another way to bring in people who might be on the edge, like you're talking about.
Which we talked about as a trend.
Right, because it's not that affordable. Like, it starts at $400 a day for a conference room. And that's like, I mean, yes, in New York, that's probably more affordable. But at the same time, I feel like it's still expensive. But I think that your point is good in the retail space that they're giving the people that are co-working out of that space. I'm just curious how many retailers are actually operating out of a WeWork space. Like, if you're really manufacturing something, how much space are you, like, is that well going to dry up for them eventually? And are they going to have to start bringing in outside retailers so it's not as an attractive offer for somebody in the space?
And the retail leasing model is still a different one. It's still a difficult one to make money on. Mm-hmm. Like, people are trying to capitalize on the whole direct-to-consumer movement and try to create more awareness and sell unique spaces like this for that. But it's still a hard way to make money. And, you know, you almost, as we were getting into its own products. I think for me, the only thing I would add based on what you guys said would be just, I think it's interesting that it seems like they're going after food in a bigger way in this to create more of an atmosphere, which right. I think is central and core to bringing people to retail, also deciding where people want to work or where people want to socialize and congregate or meet up with other people. So I think it's interesting they're continuing to amplify that over time. And that doesn't surprise us, I don't think, because right. I think we've always thought that's kind of a core piece of everything. So, all right, story number four. I'm excited about this one, especially coming off our conversation at the very beginning. Giant Foods had two big announcements this week. Number one, they formed a new business called Giant Direct, powered by Peapod out of Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Basically, what Giant Direct is, it's a 38,000 square foot facility that will be a pickup venue for customers ordering groceries through the retailer's Peapod online service and app, as well as via Giant's website. That is really hard to say.
Say that five times fast.
I know, right? It'll basically serve as a curbside pickup site as well and a grocery delivery center. Giant believes they'll be able to hit about 40% more shoppers in the area with this service. That's a big number, my mm-hmm. friends. The second thing they're doing is they're debuting a concept called Heirloom Market. It's a smaller format, only 9,500 square feet, in the Graduate Hospital neighborhood of Philadelphia. It's the first of several locations planned for the city. And the cool thing about this, we are super excited about, it includes mobile checkout and more product sampling and demonstrations for consumers, along with doing a lot of different partnerships with local purveyors on the food side within the community. So I'm excited about both of these because I think give Giant a lot of credit for doing experimentation. They're now looking at, okay, how can you look at the direct-to-consumer grocery model in a different way or the click-and-collect business in a different way? Oh, and then also, how can you experiment with a smaller format that's still very experiential and still gives you the core items that you need day in and day out without having to invest in the entire traditional supermarket experience? So I applaud them for this experimentation because I think you're going to need to do this type of experimentation to try to figure out how this whole grocery landscape is going to unfold, and at least they're doing something.
Mm-hmm. So the 38,000 square feet, this is what excites me, and correct me where I go wrong here, but it's huge, but people can't actually go inside. Like, it's simply a distribution center that you're able to come and pick things up from. So you're eliminating all of the need for aisles and all that kind of stuff. Am I correct in saying that?
Yeah, I believe you can still go to the grocery store. So it's not just a fulfillment center. It appears as though it's still a full-on.
But you can't go inside. You can pull up and you can get your groceries.
No, you can still go inside.
You can still go and everything. So it's a standard grocery store like we would see today with fulfillment out the back, and
I can't confirm the exact floor pad of the interior of the store, but it I think is lending itself to what we talked about earlier with what we saw at Takeoff and Sedano's, where this is acting as a, you know, they're rethinking the floor pad in store. It's not going to be the full on, you know, 38,000 square feet of canned goods and packaged chips and other, you know, things. It's
designed to be a different experience.
Exactly.
Totally. Regardless of the specifics, I think this is fascinating because what we're doing is you're building a spot that is future focused at what the trends of grocery pickup and delivery are going to be. And so whether it's a minimized in-store, whether it's no in-store at all, whether it's a full grocer, the point is that they're building this in a way that has these new fulfillment options completely thought through from the get-go.
Yeah.
And I think that's really fascinating when we say, you know, in a year or two, we see grocery, and Chris and Ann, you probably know this better now after being at the conference over the last week, but you know, the future of grocery we know is going to be very different than what we see today. And I think moves like this are going in the right direction.
Yeah, if you look at the picture on
online card, I think what you see is it's visually palpable how it's a space designed for curbside pickup and then just picking up orders. And so depending on what they've got running there from a logistics perspective to make that happen or any other additional product, time will tell based on as they release more information.
Which I think is a good point, because even some of the big box retailers who are doing pickup only have 3 or 4 locations to do pickup. And what happens at 4:30 to 5:30 every night when everyone wants their food at once?
And they're not designed for it, right? Yeah. They're designed in their legacy systems and architectures. So they're usually really small spaces. They're not very easy to get in and out of. Yeah. So it makes it challenging.
Totally.
All right, Anne, I know this last story is near and dear to your heart. And I think story number 5 each week is kind of becoming Anne's story.
So Anne's random reaction for the week. Okay, well, Shop Talk came out this week with their 2019 lineup. And what I found really fascinating is that within that lineup, they announced the launch of their retailer continuing education program. I think we've always considered Shop Talk to be kind of a place where you always have been able to really get experience hearing from the, you know, CEOs of companies, both startups and just well-established companies. But now they're actually putting a curriculum around it. So attendees to Shop Talk this year must obtain 10 credits in order to get this retail certification certificate. And they do that by attending, you know, track sessions, main stage sessions, table talk, tech talks, even hosted retailers and brands programs, which I find really interesting. And any attendee of the Shop Talk program can qualify for the retail education certificate. So it's not just, you know, the people that are attending the conference. This is for vendors. This is for brands. And so I think it's a really smart thing that Shop Talk is doing as a way to not just, you know, have the, it's one, you know, this is how much our conference costs. You go and see all the speakers. Now you're giving them a takeaway that they can put on their resume. And that holds weight right now. Shop Talk is a well-respected conference. And I think that they've found another way to make money off of the conference, which I'm impressed by. And they are really giving you a service for that. So I think this is worth noting.
Yeah, I come at it from a bit of a different angle of being more of a CES and tech person, okay. But I love this because I think one of the things that I really didn't like about CES this year was the fact that you have an executive standing on stage that, you know, has this huge title, but like is actually getting fundamental facts of the new world completely wrong.
Oh, really?
And I think it's embarrassing for everyone. And I think the people who really take it seriously, like that you cringe and things start to deteriorate once you start kind of faking it too much. And I love how this not only gives accreditation, you know, obviously from the, you know, they're going to make more money off it, but it gives us accreditation of actually being engaged and involved at a conference like this. And I think the benefits of that are endless, whether it's, you know, you're trying to pitch it to your internal teams to pay for you to go or it's on your resume or whatever. Like if you can get this certification, I think it's an entirely new level of training and development that I honestly haven't seen in the last couple of years in terms of you know, we know the world's moving fast, but how do you prove out that you're armed to make it happen? I think this is really cool.
Well, in their PR statement, like the thought behind the certificate is that it will help recipients distinguish themselves at a time where there is a significant divide in the retail industry, professionals' knowledge of digital innovation. And I think that's
just so perfect.
Spot on.
Yeah.
That's fascinating. Yeah, look, we're going to start talking about each other's credits. That's interesting. Yeah. You know? And it also forces you to go to this stuff, right? Versus just sit there and networking. Mm-hmm. You know, sit there and network. And you're right, Carter. I didn't catch that. It's like fascinating that you get less credit for the main stage than you do in the things that are like hardcore.
Right.
We've been to both sides of the conference, right? There's been some of you like said at the bar network, quote unquote, and then are really engaged in every single track. So anyways.
And that's actually the part I love about trade shows is like you can sit there and learn, and it's so hard to find that balance. I'm like Wade's World with Anil, the CEO of Shop Talk. If he's listening, like I bow to you in homage because I am not worthy. You are just completely kicking ass. You're so far ahead of everyone else in this industry and in what you're trying to do. This is super cool. Kudos, 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 kudos all around. So awesome. All right. Well, it's been a great episode of the Fast Five. We're going to be on hiatus again next week. So there will be no Fast Five, but Anne and I are actually out at Path to Purchase speaking at that conference in Dallas. We'll return the following week. Hopefully there'll be some exciting news to cover over the next 2 weeks. We look forward to talking to you then. And of course, as always, be careful out there.